I suppose you should take shelter in a brick or concrete structure. What a weird day. I'm telling you, from beginning to end, this day has just been weird. It's been a day of weird news. People coming up to me and just saying the most absurd things. Well, the most recent thing that happened, I'll tell you, I'm going to be taking a day off Friday. My girlfriend Stephanie is coming in from California, and she'll be here Thursday, so I'll be on the air Thursday, but then Friday I'm taking the day off so we can go touring the Twin Cities, and I can show her some stuff. And even though I'm only on the air 3 hours a night, it takes a lot of time to read the paper and prepare the show, even though it doesn't sound like it most of the time. And I just wanted to make sure I had the day free, so I arranged to take the day off. And our person whose title I have absolutely no idea what it is at the moment comes up to me in the hallway, and he says, "Hey," he says, "guess who's filling in for you on Friday?" And I said, I probably shouldn't have said this, but I said, I said, "No, you just tell me." He said, "You'll be really thrilled." He said, "Catherine Lanfer's coming in. Aren't you excited?" I said, "Well, considering what happened with the last Pioneer Press columnist who came and filled in for me, I'm not so sure." I suppose you'd have to have been there. Who? What do you mean, what happened? That would be Joe Suchere. I don't think I have very good karma with Pioneer Press. So if the show belongs to Catherine Lanfer by next month, then you'll know. I am a walking bag of insecurity, I suppose. But it's not totally irrational. Anyway, so I'm pleased, though, that they did care enough to get somebody good and didn't just have, like, Girl Scout Troop 119 come in to do the show. So that was nice. They were busy, Lauren says. They tried to have Girl Scout Troop 419 come in. And we can only wish Catherine every possible success, and she'll find out how much fun this job is, and that'll be nice. And then I said to our whatever his title is, I said, "And what if I weren't pleased about it? I said, what if I hated it? Would it make any difference?" And he said, "No." I said, "Then why are you telling me?" Honest to Pete, this place. Hey, guess what? We've decided to paint your room a cheerful shade of pews. Aren't you thrilled? Well, as it happens, I do like puce, but what if I didn't? Well, too bad. We're painting it puce anyway. Well, that's nice to know. It's lovely to be given a choice about these things. Oh, we just knew you were going to love puce. Really? Oh, yeah, we just figured you would. Okay. No problem. Oh. So, I don't know. It's been a whole day like that. It has. I have to say, though, to come in on Tuesdays and get the whole weekend's worth of mail is really quite lovely. I got a wonderful letter addressed to two copies, one addressed to me and one addressed to my butt. So that was nice. That really cheered me up, actually. That was probably the best mail I got today. The letter to me and to my butt. That was really just lovely. And and I'm also very pleased about our new Supreme Court Justice-to-be. I think this is a wonderful thing. Finally, Clinton gets one right. I'm telling you, it's a lot easier to be the opposition. It really is. So much easier to throw rotten tomatoes at Reagan and Bush. It's agonizing when it's your party. I'd forgotten that feeling. When your guy is messing up, that's a horrible feeling. So I'm really, really, really happy that he finally got one right. And although he was very testy with that reporter right after, the one who asked, you know, "Haven't you been zigzagging a little bit? I can't believe you people would ask that question at a time like, I bop, 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 bop." I have to say, I didn't think it was a particularly unfair question. I mean, admittedly, he was all caught up in the moment, but hey, you're the president. You don't get to relax for a minute, and that's the deal. He's like whining because his job is to take flack from the media. You don't like it? Go campaign to be head of natural resources or something. Go be a fire marshal. What are those people who sit up in the fire towers and look for smoke all summer long? Go be one of those people. You don't want to talk to the media. Don't go be president of the United States. They're going to ask you these questions. Every now and then they've just had... Well, see, this is it. You know, every now and then they've just had it. Just like every now and then I've just had it. So when people come up and say, you know, aren't you thrilled about who's... You really just want to say, I could give a rip. I'm just happy I get the day off. That's all. It's hard to be a political person. I'm not very good at it. I'm just really not very good at it. Sometimes I just say the first thing that comes into my head. It's a big mistake. Really is. It's unfortunate. I should be more politically savvy. One of the things I like the best about coming in at this hour at 5:30 or 5:30 usually is that I don't have as much chance to stick my foot in my mouth as I used to. I see many fewer people. It's much easier just not to be obnoxious when you don't see anybody. I think probably I should never, ever work an air shift when there are, where I'm going to have to be. I'm just one of those people who on my report card, it should have said right from the beginning, does not play nicely with others or something. I do all right with the folks on the phone and the people I've... It's something about people running radio stations. It's a bad idea to be on the radio if you have difficulty not saying what you really think to managers of your own radio station. It's just a bad idea. In any business, I suppose. I suppose it's even worse if then you get to go out and tell the whole world what you think about what your manager just did. And you do it. Probably equally stupid. Oh, well. It must have happened to people, but I can't be the only person who has been given some information by management who's just opened up her mouth and said, you know, that's really the stupidest thing you guys have done in a long time, which considering how you usually run this company is pretty impressive. There must be other people who've just, without even meaning to, not even meaning to tell somebody off, they've just opened up their mouth and said, like my girlfriend Susan in California, and they were all excited about their new logo and letterhead and everything, and they left some of it on her desk with her name on it. And she walked out in the lobby and said for anyone to hear, anybody but me notice that this letterhead is butt ugly? My friends are just like me. We say things like that. I suppose I would feel better if other people would confess to similar. But I probably am the only one. Just me and my friends. We're the only people. My girlfriend Stephanie, who's coming to visit. She's the kind of person, this is really true, she's a telecommunications analyst for a big, big, big company in California. And they call this meeting, the department's being reorganized, they're hiring this, they're hiring that, they're moving everything around, and it's going to be great, it's going to be wonderful. And my friend Stephanie opens up her mouth and says, gee, sounds like this is going to be nothing but a pent load more work for us. Why should we like it? And my friends are just like me. We just say these things. You know what I should be? I should be in a civil service job where I can do stuff like that. That's where I should be. I should be working for the post office. That's what I should be doing. I missed my calling. I should have taken a degree in library sciences or something. I'm in the wrong profession. There's the only job I can think of where you don't have to either A, own the company, or B, be in civil service. Those are the two places you can be working where you can just say what you bloody well please. So. I suppose at the moment you can also be a general in the Air Force too, can't you? You can be a major general in the Air Force and say what you bloody well please about your boss, too. Get away with that, looks like. I heard the press conference today, and they asked Clinton what he was going to do about the major general who basically said that he was a what did he say? He was a fag lover or something? Wasn't that the language he used? Pot-smoking, draft-dodging, fag lover. That was it. So I hate to say it, but that major general and I obviously have something in common. We just open up our mouths and say exactly what comes into our head, even if we know it's going to cost us our entire career. Now, I disagree entirely with that Major General, but I have to say, I feel a certain sort of kinship with him. He couldn't help himself. I can imagine it. I mean, I can imagine this Major General. He hates Clinton with a passion. He's terrified of gay people. He can't even imagine anybody smoking pot, even though practically the entire military in Vietnam did nothing but use drugs when they weren't involved in battle from morning to night, and everybody knows it. And what was the other thing? And probably he did, too. What was the other thing? Draft dodging. Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. Probably, that of course, that would be abhorrent to him. And he just couldn't help himself. It was just all too much for him. And there he was in front of a group of men and women that he was sure felt exactly the same way. And he just probably didn't even realize he was going to say. He just opened up his mouth and bloop, out it came. You can't help it. Sometimes you just can't help it. Hi, Sam. You're on KSTP.
I didn't catch what you're talking about, but I know this. On the Minneapolis Tribune this morning?
Yes.
On page 1B?
Yes. That the truck turned over?
Yeah. Did you see the guy in the upper left corner?
No.
Look at him. He's up in the left corner. He must be a policeman. And he's between those two markers?
Yeah, between the pylons.
Okay, that's bowling for semis.
Well, thank you for calling and giving us your play-by-play illustration of the Star Tribune front page pictorial.
Sure. Now he's waiting for the baby split is what he's doing.
All right. Well, thank you.
Sure.
Bye. Lauren, I'm holding you accountable. People who just want to call up out of the blue sky and say, I'm not listening to your show, but I thought you'd like to know what's in the paper, Lauren.
He was much more amusing talking to me.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and I stand by my story.
Yeah, you dope-smoking, draft-dodging, queer kisser. What?
There was one time for that, but I did join the military.
Yeah, but then you ducked out of it.
Well, so? At least I went to boot camp for a while.
We know you're at... Oh, well, that puts you ahead of the president, I suppose. So he finally got a Supreme Court nomination done right, and did it right. And you know what? I couldn't believe it. There were people in the media bitching about the fact that he brought this guy Breyer into D.C. with the punctured lung from the bicycle accident, or whatever, punctured broken rib. You heard that story. I don't know. It seems to me that probably was the thing that disqualified the judge. Yeah, I mean, I think that the president wants a Supreme Court justice who can stay on his bicycle myself. That's what I think. That's what I think just killed the whole deal was the bicycle injury. Anyway. No, he did. He came. Well, I'll find you the item. Here, just a minute. It's in here. I have it. Hang on. The Star Tribune, I'm pretty darn sure. It was in the analysis part, I believe. Here, I'll find it for you. Ow. Just rip the thing. Here, let's see here. Bad taste. Let's see. I can't find it. See, you don't have to find it yourself. You just have to take my word for it. This guy came in after to Breyer. Judge Stephen Breyer came in. For an interview, and I believe that he came in with an injury from a bicycle accident, and you'll just have to find the part in the paper where it says that, but that's what it is. And I personally think that if he'd been able to stay on his bicycle, it had nothing to do with the Social Security taxes. If he'd been able to stay on his bicycle, he'd be a Supreme Court justice right now. I think our president likes men who stay on their bikes. That's my theory. Anyway, actually, what I was astonished to hear on the news was that there are people complaining that Judge Breyer was brought in for an interview and then not hired. That somehow tells us that Clinton is wishy-washy, that this guy came in and... then Clinton didn't hire him. So now these are the same people, by the way, who are complaining that he didn't screen Lonnie Guinier thoroughly enough. So now they're bitching that he's actually screening people. They cannot make up their minds. First, they nail him for not doing the personal interview and all of the legwork. Then the guy does all the legwork, and they want to complain about that. Plus, when was the last time you ever got aspersion cast upon you as a manager for conducting a thorough job interview. Geez, you know, we can't believe you actually called that guy in and interviewed him. Couldn't you just make up your mind from his resume? Well, no, actually, I wanted to meet him and look him in the eye and see if we got along and... Well, that's disgraceful. You're just supposed to take that 8x10 piece of paper and a bunch of stuff he's written and make up your mind from that. And then after you make up your mind, you bring him in to meet him. That's what they're... In essence, that's what they're now complaining about. So we are now dealing with a segment of the media who clearly are not prepared to let the man do anything right, as opposed to having a media that is supposed to, that is doing its job and calling him like it sees him, and when he screws up, they say it, and when he does right, they say it. And as far as I'm concerned, they should be saying, hey, he got his act together a little bit. He interviewed, he asked, and what are they complaining about that they didn't get Babbitt? That the Senate had some reservations about Babbitt. And here's the same Senate that says he doesn't consult them about anything. So he consults them, and then these people say, well, he didn't even know what he wants, and he went and the Senate didn't like it, so he just took it away. Hey, what do you want? Either you want him to be an autocrat and not consult with anybody, just do whatever he damn well pleases and watch it go down in flames, or you want him to consult and work by as much of a consensus as he can amass. Not a true consensus, but a sort of a collection of information and take that all into consideration. People are now just out to get him, that's all. They just want his head on a silver platter, and they don't care what the reasons are. Any reason. I didn't like the way his teeth were arranged today. Yeah, but he can't do anything about it. That's too bad. I want a president with smaller teeth. When I elected him, I didn't know his teeth were so big. It's come to that. In essence, it has come to that now. 622 AM 1500 KSTP. Phone number here is 646-TALK, 1-800-962-0792, star 1500 on your Cellular One phone. A free call for those of you with Cellular One service. All those numbers, any of those numbers, get you into KSTP AM 1500.
When you want to know what's happening around town or around the world, join us for Channel 5's Eyewitness News at 10. I'm Mark Sapelsa.
And I'm Angela Storr. Every night we bring you stories you won't find anywhere else. Straight to the point reports. We dig deep to cover issues that affect most.
And we're always there with live coverage of the latest breaking news. So when you want to stay informed as stories develop, turn to Channel 5's Eyewitness News at 10.
We'll tell you what's been happening tonight.
If you're a woman, today you need a life insurance plan of your own. State Farm sells life insurance designed to meet the needs of today's woman and the people who count on you for so very much. A State Farm agent is there today with a life insurance plan that works for you, and there tomorrow, too, as your life changes, to keep that plan working for you. If you're a woman, remember, State Farm sells life insurance.
And like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Now, honestly, somewhere between the evening news and your favorite reruns, you've got some spare time, right? Well, if you'll spend some of that time with the National Dynamics Language Program, we'll have you speaking and understanding Spanish, French, Italian, German, or Japanese in 30 days. No books, no classes. Just our audio tapes in your home, car, or portable cassette player. Call this number today, 1-800-545-1985. That's 1-800-545-1985. Now, really, how many reruns can you watch?